Devontae Tasker into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown!
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! The Bills win it in overtime.
Hi there. Welcome to the show. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive from Orchard Park, New York. Beautiful Orchard Park. Home of the Buffalo Bills, John Murphy, Steve Tasker in our One Buffalo studio as we get set to update you on what's going on with your favorite NFL team, the Buffalo Bills. Good afternoon, everybody. John Murphy and Steve Tasker in our One Buffalo studio. We're inside the AdPro Sports Training Center. On the other side of the wall, the Buffalo Bills making their way out to practice right now. Thursday practice with the game against the New York Jets coming up on Sunday. Going to go live to Chris Brown, Bills Insider from BuffaloBills.com in a minute or two. And
gave him the pump fake, too. They had said the practice was going to be inside. So I don't know whether he had to run in for more gear or what, but now they moved practice outside. It's not a training camp kind of day out there. It's more of a November day out there.
That's all right. I'm glad they're practicing
He's only out there for 20 minutes.
Oh, you're talking about Brownie or the team?
I don't worry about the team. Team's all right.
I like when they practice outdoors when the weather's a little iffy as it is
Why?
I think it's better to play in conditions that are going to be similar to what they're going to see on Sunday. And I think it's going to be chilly and cloudy and a little bit breezy in the Meadowlands, MetLife Stadium on Sunday. And I think it's better to work in that to get ready for that game. That's all. You're going to tell me that's not
I don't know. I get it. And you're probably right at some level. But I think it's a little bit overrated because you need to run through the stuff like you're going to run through it in the best case scenario because you don't want to be distracted from getting ready. And I think the elements are distraction. Now, on game day, I get it. You have to go with what's going on. But you can't predict it for the most part. And I think you want to go out there and get through as the best reps you can doing what you're going to be doing or what you're supposed to be doing under best case scenarios. And then you make adjustments on the fly as you get there. I mean, and plus, I've always said this, it's not a shock for guys in Buffalo to go in and all of a sudden play in a cold weather. I mean, you live in it here, so not too many places have worse weather, you know, on a day-to-day basis than we do here in Buffalo. We're a northeastern city that gets lake effect and all that, so you live in it. It's not a shock to your system. You get teams like, you know, the L.A. Chargers or some of these other teams that come in here late in the season, it's a shock. You get off that plane on Saturday and it slaps you in the face. That's when the conditions make a difference in a football game, I think.
Gotcha. Okay. Thanks.
So
we got a lot to talk about today. Chris Brown, we're going to go to him live in a couple of minutes. Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com at practice. We've got coming up at 1 o'clock, a former teammate of Steve's, Marcellus Wiley, has written this book. It's called Never Shut Up. Did you read this?
Some of it, yeah.
Did you take it like some sort of a credo to live by or something?
I did not.
Oh.
That is not
my... Are you sure?
Contrary to the evidence at hand, I did not take that as a life...
You thought it was sentence. Like a life lesson book or something?
Yeah, no.
Marcellus Wiley, his book is Never Shut Up, and we'll talk with him about that coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. And coming up after that, after practice, Terrell Pryor, new Buffalo Bills receiver, played a little bit in the game against the Bears last Sunday. Terrell Pryor will be joining us coming up after practice today. We'll get you caught up on everything going on around the Bills and the National Football League over the next 3 hours, and we start with Bills practice, and they're starting right now outside the AdPro Sports Training Center in the elements. Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com out there. Chris, what are we dealing with weather-wise today? A little chilly, a little breezy? You look like you're ready for a
chilly,
blizzard.
Wind is here, and it's whipping through the practice field. There is a bit of good news out here today. As I just tweeted, Tremaine Edmonds is fully padded for today's contact practice. He is not in a red jersey. That can only mean one thing. He is out of the concussion protocol, so certainly a good sign. We'll see if he's limited in terms of his participation at the conclusion of practice when the Thursday report is released after practice is over, but certainly an encouraging sign there. Chris Ivory is out here as well. He is wearing a red non-contact jersey, though, for practice here today.
What about the quarterbacks? Talk about Derek Anderson. Is he anywhere to be seen? Has he started down the road towards
recovery?
Derek
Anderson is out here. Yeah, Derek Anderson is out here, but I did not see him with a helmet. Yeah, he does not have a helmet. So he is going off to the side with the strength and conditioning staff along with Charles Clay. So we're going to pan over there now so you can get a look at that perhaps. But he's walking off to the side right now to work with Eric Ciano, head strength and conditioning coach. So right now it's the three quarterbacks that are padded up, Josh Allen, Nathan Peterman, and Matt Barkley.
It'd be great if the Bills have a choice of healthy quarterbacks on Sunday, right? I mean, they haven't really had that for about a month or so. I'd be up for that, Chris.
Yeah, it'd certainly be nice to have a few more options. It's funny because on this week's edition, I asked of Coffee with the Coach, with Coach McDermott, I asked him, you know, how disruptive, you know, every team has to deal with injuries in the NFL. It's 100% injury rate, as players like to say in this league. I said, but how disruptive and how challenging is it to overcome injuries at the quarterback position, especially not only when you lose your starter, but even your backup? And, you know, he said it is a challenge, but we don't have any choice. We have to find options to get us through that stretch of games when, you know, we don't have our number one option at the most important position on the field on offense. So they're working through it as best they can. And I know it's been a rough few weeks here, but, you know, if Josh Allen is out here working with the ones again today, it certainly is an encouraging sign that he could very well be ready for Sunday's game against the Jets.
All right, speaking of Coffee with the Coach, we have a very important question for you, Chris. Why is it that neither you nor Coach McDermott touch your coffee when you shoot that Coffee with the Coach segment?
Well, my main concern, since I have to kind of run the segment, is I don't want to get caught mid-sip. That is a genuine fear of mine. So I don't want to get caught mid-sip.
Come on in, I'll show you how it's done.
God forbid, because then my mom will call me and she'll have an issue with that. So yeah. We don't need that.
That's a legitimate concern.
All right, that's all I have for you today, Chris. Coach.
Brian, talk a little bit about the defensive side of the football. Ryan Lewis, does it look like he's going to be taking first-team reps? Is that going to move along as is anticipated with Phillip Gaines being out of the lineup?
Yeah, not on the roster.
Right.
I mean, Ryan Lewis is all signs are pointing to him to be the starter there at the boundary cornerback opposite Tredavious. So, you know, he's got three starts under his belt for this team already this season. I think a lot of people forgot that he started three games for the Bills this year already. He started week three against Minnesota, week four against Green Bay, and week five against the Tennessee Titans. Two of those games being victories, by the way. And I think he is primed to step right in and play well. This is a guy that's got 4.37 speed. He killed it at his pro day at Pitt. Ran a 4.37, had a 35-inch vertical, 10'8" broad jump, and also had a three-cone drill time of 6.87 seconds. This is a supreme elite athlete who plays a physical game. I mean, he's 6 foot, 195. I think he can bring the kind of run support that Coach McDermott looks for from the corner position, and he's got makeup speed. So even when he's beat on a play, he can get back in the play and still hang with the guy that may have gotten him on a double move or something.
Let's talk about Ryan Lewis for a second, Chris. Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. A lot of good things about him, as you pointed out. I got the sense back when he was playing and starting, and you know, the Bills were forced into it by injury back then. I want to say it was 4 or 5 weeks ago now. I did get the sense that the coaching staff may not have felt comfortable with his command of what they wanted to do defensively. So obviously they've worked on that, but I do think that's a reservation they have. You know, he comes from the Patriots, a different system. They brought him in here, were forced to play him, were forced to start him for what, as you said, 3-4 weeks. But I'm sure they're looking now for signs of progress from Ryan Lewis as far as familiarity with their concepts and what they want a corner to do, right? I mean, you think that was what the hold up was with him and why Gaines jumped right back in when he was healthy?
I think that would be a legitimate theory to have as to why that was the case, yes.
Okay. Well, that was what I was told by coaches anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, you could have started with that. I thought it was a valid, well thought out theory. So, you know, that makes sense that the coaches say it. Yeah, I mean, there are zone concepts here that have a lot of rules that you have to master to know where your help is, know where your leverage is on plays from the corner position. And, you know, he told me when I spoke to him directly that he had most of it down, in his opinion, after a week and a half. Obviously, the coaches had a different opinion. And I asked him, I said, well, are there times where you're out there and you might not be 100% certain as to where you're going to be on that play? And he said, well, if and when that ever does come up, he goes, I can always look to Micah Hyde or Jordan Poyer, and they can get me straight for that play. So there is a security blanket for him out there. And, you know, now that he's been here the better part of a month and a half, know, I think he does have a pretty good handle on it, and I think it's what gave the Bills the confidence to move on from Philip Gaines and turn to Ryan Lewis as their starter.
Well, we're also one of the stories about this roster has been the fact, well, one of them has been that Shady doesn't want to talk to the media this week, but the other one about the other running back is Chris Ivory. He's in a red non-contact jersey. Let's, you know, what about him? Is there a chance? I mean, he has a shoulder injury, obviously, and that's it's one of those things for a running back. You know, at least he can run. I don't know if it's ball security or if it's really damaged, if you know what kind of injury it is. But if he's trying to work back into the lineup, if he's in a non-contact jersey and starting to get back into active role, how likely could it be that he gets back in the lineup this week?
It's a shoulder injury, and it was a pretty bad one that he had on a goal line carry last week. And I think that's a tough injury for a player with his kind of physical lower-the-boom running style. That's the issue for him. The injury does not match up well with the kind of player that he is. So I think he's a long shot to play this week, quite frankly. So that would leave the Bills with two running backs on the roster in McCoy and Murphy, neither of whom are short yardage backs. So they may have a decision to make at the end of the week because they do have a physical runner on the practice squad by the name of Keith Ford, the undrafted rookie out of Texas, who I thought had a very good training camp and a solid preseason and can get north and south in a hurry. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't have a little wiggle to his game and can't catch the football out of the backfield. He can do those things as well. If Ivory is a no-go this week, it's going to be interesting to see if, based on their game plan, they feel they're going to need a short yardage back who can get some tough yards. And quite frankly, guys, they need a back on this roster that can get tough yards all the time because contact behind the line of scrimmage is a frequent thing that the running backs in Buffalo stable have to deal with on a play-by-play, series-by-series basis due to some of the shortcomings of the offensive line.
Hey, Chris, while we're talking about running backs, there's no problem with McCoy, right? No injury issues? I mean, he shows up for practice every day. I know some people are upset that he's not been real cooperative with the media, but Sean McDermott seems to downplay it. I don't think they have a problem with LeSean McCoy at this point, do you?
No, I don't think work ethic is an issue. At all. I think his issue is he's troubled by the lack of productivity that he is able to provide. I think he knows, and defenses have demonstrated this because they're still game planning to stop him, he is the feature and focal point of this offense that opposing defenses focus on stopping. They don't have a passing game right now that opponents have to worry about. So it allows them to focus all the more on stopping LeSean McCoy. Because if you stop him, as the last two defenses have effectively done, you essentially have rendered Buffalo's offense powerless. You know, and we've seen that based on the point production the last couple of weeks.
And one of the reasons their running game has struggled is because they've been ineffective on the outside. You've got Kelvin Benjamin out there who's dealing with a knee injury this week. They've picked up Isaiah McKenzie off the waiver wire, off the practice squad of Denver. They've also, you know, obviously gotten Terrell Pryor on that. They're doing everything they can to give whoever's pulling the trigger at quarterback more options on the outside. What is this, you know, the status of the receiving core? What's Benjamin up to at practice, and how does McKenzie look?
Yeah, Benjamin's out here running routes. So he's participating right now. And, you know, McKenzie's out here, and I think it was very telling this week when Coach McDermott, when asked about McKenzie, talked about his speed and ability to stretch the field. I think Coach McDermott recognizes as much as anybody that they don't have a deep threat on this roster to at least threaten teams that they could get beat over the top. And that's why you've seen the last 2 weeks defenses just squatting on all of the short routes because, number one, there isn't someone that they're worried about blowing past them. And number two, there isn't a pass protection capable of holding up long enough so if someone does get beat deep that the quarterback can get him the football. So you roll all that together and you have a receiving core that is very much in a state of flux and is waiting for someone to emerge and make a play for this team.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. A couple of minutes left at Bills practice as he reports from the practice field. They're outdoors today getting set to play the Jets. Outdoors this week. So right now what you're looking at is Derek Anderson on the practice field but not practicing at quarterback. And what, you're looking at Josh Allen, who Got a lot of reps yesterday, we believe, with the ones. Probably going to get some more today. What do you think, Chris? Will they make an announcement before, I don't know, before tomorrow even, tomorrow morning maybe, about who their plans are to go with at quarterback?
Well, the media will get a chance to talk to Coach after practice today. I'm not anticipating anything revealing from Coach. I think he might just continue saying, we're taking it day by day. You know, it's encouraging that there have been no setbacks to this point with Josh. I'm not anticipating anything definitive, though, coming from Coach after practice today. Maybe there will be, but I think they're going to run this right up to the end of the week before they decide. I mean, maybe when the final Friday injury report comes out, maybe that will provide a clue as to just which way this thing is going. But I think there's a very good chance that despite limited participation in practice all week by Josh, that we could still see him listed as questionable for Sunday's game.
And is that a function of his actual health status, or are they, you know, trying to keep the Jets guessing?
Well, I think it's a function of his level of participation. I think if you're a limited participant all week, I'm not 100% sure. I'll have to check on this, but I think you almost have to list a player as questionable based on limited participation throughout the week. He might be better than that. He might be more towards probable, but they eliminated probable from injury designations a few years ago. So that's kind of where it's at right now. He's either questionable or he's good to go. And if he's short of good to go 100%, he's probably looking at a questionable designation come tomorrow afternoon.
And as we keep an eye on practice, we can see it appears to be the exact same black sleeve on his right elbow and right arm that he's working with today that he had on yesterday, huh?
Yeah, and I would anticipate that to continue, especially when you're outdoors in the cold. They probably want to keep that thing warm even when he's not throwing. And obviously those sleeves help to do that. They keep the heat in, keep the arm warm. So that should benefit him out here in the conditions.
Chris, Steve and I, Steve got a little fired up yesterday when I suggested that you do want to keep in mind exposure to further injury to that elbow. That's got to be a consideration, right? And the fact that if he does not play, I'm talking about Josh Allen, if he does not play and waits until after the bye, it would be a full 6 weeks between injury and return to the lineup. I know McDermott has acknowledged that they know that and realize that, and that could be a bit of a consideration, if not the overriding consideration. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it might be presumptuous on my part, but I can't believe they've got him out here throwing 100 balls a day if he has any residual pain in that elbow. I can't see them taking an investment like Josh Allen of this magnitude and putting him on the field if he has any residual pain in his elbow. I think he's got to be pain-free and out here throwing. I really think what we're seeing this week is a byproduct of needing to build the strength and endurance back into his arm, because he hasn't thrown for 3 weeks until last Friday. That's a long time, even for a professional quarterback, to not be throwing, and then all of a sudden you're back into it and you've got to kind of execute in practice to the level of, you know, give or take 100 throws of practice. So that's why they took the steps that they did late last week, just easing him back in on last Friday, and then he threw again on Saturday. To me, this is an exercise of building the strength and endurance back into his arm after a three-week layoff. If there are no ill effects from the level of activity, the extent of activity, you know, he's not feeling residual effects, he's not sore, there's no pain, pain doesn't return to the joint, I think then, you know, you go ahead and you take it a step further. You know, I think what we've seen here the last couple of days in practice during this period has been very telling. They start with a lot of short passes, and then they slowly build up to intermediate routes and then longer routes after that. Now, that might be the way they've done it all season long, and we just haven't noticed it, but I think there's a defined plan during this individual position period to warm Allen's arm up to throw longer and longer passes as he gets more and more warm, you know, with each passing minute into practice. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if this surrounds everything that has to do with treating Josh Allen's elbow the right way in the practice setting.
Well, talking about surrounding Josh Allen, he's going to be surrounded by offensive linemen that have been shuffled up in front of him. When you talk about what's going on at the front line, Wyatt Teller still looking like he's going to be the left guard this Sunday, and are there any other changes of note as the Bills continually on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, they're shuffling every position group, the quarterbacks, by because there's no other choice because of injury. The running backs a little bit because of injury with Ivory. But the offensive line and the wide receivers, they're shuffling to try and get more production and find a combination that works.
Yeah, I've only got a couple of seconds here left, guys, but I will say this. It's only Wyatt Teller is the only perceived change from what we can see here on the practice field on the offensive line. I think we know wide receiver is going to be a mixed bag of rotation. So I would expect a lot of rotation again this week against the Jets, both on O-line and at wide receiver. But right now, as far as starting lineup goes, Teller looks to be the only change.
Chris, thank you. We appreciate it.
All right, guys, take it easy.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. Sounds like he's getting hustled off the practice field, doesn't he? Come on, let's go.
Move it.
Move it. John Murphy, Steve Tasker coming to you live from our One Buffalo studio. You got a good look and listen into what's going on in practice today, and there's a lot going on. You got the whole quarterback stuff, right? And we don't know how that's going to turn out yet. It looks like another day of throwing for Josh Allen. Nathan Peterman is there to back up. We'll find out at some point after practice today where they're going with Derek Anderson, who, as Chris said, does not appear to be practicing, but was there at least on the field. Maybe he's another step forward in concussion protocol. There's that. Running back, Chris Ivory, not practicing today. And as Chris hinted, maybe there's a move to be made from their practice squad to get a bigger physical running back from the practice squad up to the active roster. Wide receiver, Kelvin Benjamin, looks like he is not going full today. Did not yesterday either. So that's something to watch. So and offensive line, Wyatt Teller, looks like running with the ones again for the second consecutive year. There's a lot going on, a lot of flux on the offensive side of the ball right now.
Yeah, there is. And Brownie brought up a great point with Keith Ford, you know, Texas A&M rookie who flashed some in preseason. I'd like to know what the coaching staff's take on his and how he's developed over the last 2 months of the regular season. You know, hopefully he's been, you know, had his nose on the grindstone and trying to find out what kept him off the active roster, what's keeping him off the active roster, whether it's just the level of Ivory and LeSean McCoy that's keeping him on the bench. You'd like to think that's probably the case. And also Marcus Murphy, who is, you know, he's a return guy and plays well on coverage teams and special teams, which is why Keith Ford hasn't cracked the roster. But if Ivory can't go, Keith Ford would be an option if he's ready to come up and take his place. And that's, you know, and as this season has gone the way it's gone, young guys better be on their toes because they may get tapped on the shoulder and say, hey, let's see what you can do.
Yeah. I mean, Wyatt Teller, it appears, got that tap this week.
Right? That's right.
I wonder if he saw it coming, even last week.
Yeah.
So I think at some point, you would know this. At some point last week, his coach, Juan Castillo, or somebody had to say to him, hey, rookie, be ready, right? Before last week's game when he played 17.
Come in and say, listen, right? You're going to go in the next series. Be ready for it.
But even before, like during the course of the week?
I don't know. Sometimes not. Sometimes it happens during a game, like, hey, we're going to plug in. And he might have gotten a conversation during the week saying, hey, listen, if we're not doing well, if things aren't going well, be ready to go in for a couple of series on the line. Yeah. And, of course, then during the game he'll say, hey, next series you're up. And there he is, and he's off and running. And, you know, what could be and hopefully is a long and storied career as a fantastic left guard for the Buffalo Bills.
We got a lot to talk about today with all of those moves. And we got a Twitter poll. It's not necessarily a poll, but sort of a question on Twitter today we want you to weigh in on. So if Josh Allen returns to the starting lineup, what impact will he have on the offense? Pretty simple question. We thought about, you know, putting out some options for you, but what do you want to say? 200 yards or more? 250 yards? I don't know. I don't know if that's productive. But if Josh Allen returns to the starting lineup Sunday against the Jets, just let us know. What do you think? What impact will he have on the Buffalo offense? I think it'll be positive. I think it will, you know, and as bad as this offense has been, and it was bad when Josh was quarterbacking as well, at least there was the threat of a couple of things when Josh was in there. The deep pass, which is non-existent the last few weeks, and Josh Allen's running ability, which was something that they had to build on. They had very little to build on back, a month or more ago. So respond to us. What do you think on Twitter or on the telephone lines? Lines open at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Or let us know what you think at our Twitter site, One Bills Live. If Josh Allen returns to the starting lineup, what impact will he have on the offense?
I think it's an interesting question because a lot of what it will do has to be about what the Jets believe about Josh Allen as a quarterback and what they can do defensively against him. I don't think there's and there's any question, they always tweak their game plan for whoever's pulling the trigger at quarterback for their opponent. And I think putting Josh Allen in there instead of Nate Peterman changes things. You go back and look at what Josh Allen was able to do in the pocket. You saw, you can see some of the throws. He can get the ball down the field in a hurry with some velocity, which doesn't give the defensive backs a chance to break on the ball. But by the same token, it's still the same offensive line that's putting pressure on him, and they're going to have to feel like they're going to be able to play pass defense with their front four or their front five. That's where they're going to have their most success defending the pass, is not letting him get the football off. Plus, a guy with an injured elbow, you can bet they're going to try and treat Josh Allen like a pinata. But having said that, Brian Daboll knows that too. They had a plan for Nate Peterman to get the ball out quick. Nate Peterman, 31 of 49 last week. They threw the football a lot, and he got rid of the ball in a timely fashion very quickly. And that was the plan. You can bet that the Bills will have a lot of that in their game plan this week, particularly with a rookie left guard in there, Wyatt Teller, for as much hope and optimism there is changing things around on the offensive line. You know, you got to know that it may not go well. So Josh Allen is the wild card, not only for what he'll bring to the offense, but how the defense will perceive the offense and what they'll do differently. And I think that's the interesting question.
Let's get to the tweet sheet. If Josh Allen returns to the starting lineup, what impact will he have on the Buffalo offense? From Scott Polichet. Says Allen could give an uplift in motivation and sense of direction to the offense. Allen seems to give a spark that was shown in the second half of the Baltimore game. It appears that when Peterman or Anderson are in, the offense looks like it's going through the motions, especially with Peterman. I don't know if that's true.
I don't know either, but I'll tell you this about the entire thing. It looks different when you've got a guy with a live arm. Plus,
yeah.
I got to say this, as much as they'll deny it and they'll say it's not true, I think, and I was a former wide receiver myself for like 2 seconds, those guys believe he can get them the ball. I don't know if they believe that about Nate Peterman. I don't know if they believe that about Derek Anderson, who's fresh off the street, and they didn't know him that well. I know this. They've seen Josh Allen a lot from training camp, OTAs, and they're going to run their routes thinking, you know what, this guy might.
Yeah.
This guy might get it to
me. You make
a
really good point, live arm.
So that changes the way it looks on the outside with the receiving core. Those guys know they've got to be alive in this route because Josh can get it there, and it's going to come in a hurry. So I think that does change maybe the perception of the entire offense when you've got
uplifted
guys.
Uplifted motivation. Maybe you're right, yeah, maybe. Scott. I got to think about that. Yeah. I think it's more talent. You know, you got a guy with a live arm who can get you the ball. You got a guy who can run with the ball. You got a guy who'll jump over linebackers to get a first down. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
The other quarterbacks can't do that. They haven't done that. But maybe you're right. Maybe there's an – I could be wrong.
And the same thing,
that.
This seems to be the theme, Thomas Durlach. His return will serve more as a psychological boost and depend on how much he absorbed during his time off. The caveat is he is returning to the same subpar offensive line and lack of a running game. My hope is that they let him throw more to gain confidence. And that's an interesting question.
It is.
Are they going to let him – like Nate Peterman threw it 49 times. Of course, they were down. I mean, the game was off the hook pretty quick in the first half. They're down 14-0 for a team that doesn't score, barely scores 10 points a game. I mean, that's that, and he threw 49 times. I don't think that was the plan going in, but is it the plan with Josh Allen? Do you go out there and say, you know what, we can find out about him. Let's see him. Let's watch him learn. Let's let him sling it. Get the ball out of his hand.
It might be some of that. I would think that the coach's viewpoint, and I'm talking about Daboll and McDermott, might be more like, let's see him run this offense. The whole offense,
Right.
Make the right reads, make the right calls. And it might not just be, let's see him throw it 49 times. I just looked, his previous high in attempts, Josh Allen's attempts was 33 against the Chargers, okay, and he was 18 of 33. Then he had 33 attempts against the Packers when the Bills got shut out.
Right.
I don't know. I don't think they go into a game thinking we're going to attempt 49 passes.
Well, here's the thing, too. Yeah, I mean, right. Nobody, I don't think very many people do. Occasionally they'll go in and say we're going to throw this football a lot. But I think to say that they want Josh Allen and the plan is for him to run the offense from there, that's okay until you go, you hand it off on first down and it's now second and 11.
Right.
Well, it's tough. It turns in, you got to stay on schedule. Now, maybe they'll go out and they'll say, okay, here's a 4-yard slant on first down. Now we can run the football on second and 6, and we have a chance, So if you throw on first down and run the offense, you've got to stay on schedule. That's going to be the issue. Now, if he goes If they start throwing it on first down and all of a sudden you've got a lot of second and tens, well, that's no fun either. So right. You can say you're going to run this offense, but this offense has not shown that it's talented enough to stay on schedule with the sticks and let a young quarterback, you know, run a third and two play.
Yeah.
Right? So we'll see. I mean, it's nice to say that, but I think, too, so many times this season, unfortunately, the Bills' offense has had the terms of what they're going to do offensively dictated to them by the scoreboard and by their lack of productivity.
Way too much. You're right.
Way too much.
I like this topic. I do. I like this topic. I want to talk more about this. I want to get your thoughts on it, too. If Josh Allen returns to the starting lineup Sunday against the Jets, what impact will he have on the Buffalo offense? Let's hear from you. Phone lines open, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Two things, Steve. Have you seen this? Uh-oh. I don't think we have a brand new table here.
There's one over here, too.
Is it like this?
Yeah, it's like.
It's beautiful. We've had here's buckets. The thing. We've had what with those 10-gallon buckets?
We got 10-gallon, two 10-gallon buckets, and we set our coffee on top of it.
Right.
But now.
Now we got a bonafide table here.
There's a shiny.
It's a real piece of furniture.
Real piece of furniture for us
That's
to
great.
Like set our coffee and our diet doctor down there.
That's fantastic.
All my stuff.
That's great.
Who did that?
I don't know.
Who's responsible for
progress.
That? Give them a pay raise. Yeah. Somebody will take credit for it, you know, for sure.
Number two, and this is big, too.
That was the first thing? The table was the first?
That's the first thing.
Okay,
today, the most important thing.
Right.
It's a red letter day in Buffalo Bills history. As pointed out to us on Twitter by a couple of folks, it was 32 years ago today when a young gentleman was claimed off the waiver wire from the Houston Oilers, came here to Buffalo as a special teamer. Probably another guy that you say, yeah, okay, who's this guy? Tasker, what's he doing? Not 32 years later, he is an icon in Buffalo, a perennial Pro Bowl player, a great broadcaster. He sold a few cars along the way, and now he's on the show with us every day. Steve Tasker, on this date in 1986, the Bills signed Steve Tasker, claimed him off waivers. How about that anniversary, Steve?
It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Murph, I'm still cashing that lottery ticket.
32 years. How old are you? That's
56.
Most of your life. Most
56.
Of your life.
56. Yeah.
Here in Buffalo.
Yeah. I was 20. Well, I guess 24.
You're on a waiver claim, right?
Yeah. I was off waiver. I was a 24-hour waiver claim. The Oilers were going to sign me back. They needed me to play on Sunday, and they waited till later in the week. And Marv had gotten the job on Monday, and told his staff. This is what he told me years later. He's like, I told the staff, listen, we can't get much better on offense or defense, but special teams, we can get better right away. So if you have any ideas, let me know. We'll talk about it, personnel, whatever. And midway through on Thursday that week, my name popped up on the waiver wire, and one of the coaches had been in Houston with me the year before, Joe Farragelli. And he came to Marv and said, hey, Marv, this kid can play special teams. They want him to play. They're not going to get rid of him. They're going to play him on Sunday, but, you know, he's a good player. He's a special teams kid. You might give him a try. Marv, like, he told me, he shrugged his shoulders. He goes, I don't know, pick him up.
Whatever.
Yeah. What am I? Yeah, sure, pick him up. So think about this, Murph. And I've told this story a gazillion times. Marv Levy's first game as head coach of the Buffalo Bills, who was going to send him to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I was the first new player he signed.
It's amazing.
I'm still cashing that lottery ticket. Today, Murph, today we are getting a payment on my winning lottery ticket 32
me?
Years ago.
Me?
You and me. I'm getting paid more than you are.
It's a great story. It really is.
It really is. And you think about, you know, nobody knows what your life's going to be. And a lot of people, life is, you know, how you handle the opportunities you're given. And I was really given an enormous gift when I got here to Buffalo. And I am still loving it.
And let me say this, too. It makes me think, too, about, look, there are waiver claims all the time. The Bills just claimed that wide receiver we talked about, Isaiah McKenzie. Isaiah McKenzie going to be in Buffalo in 32 years? You know, who knows, right? You never know. That's kind of the thing that keeps me interested, these kind of stories, like Steve Tasker or other waiver claim. Jack Kemp was a waiver claim pickup. I mean,
there's a lot of them
around
the National
Look at the career and life he had here. He went to Congress. He ran for vice president. If he had not been claimed by the Bills, Jack Kemp, for $100 or something, you know, maybe that never happens.
That's true.
Great stories.
It's really true.
Congratulations.
Thanks,
32
man.
Years ago today. I mean that. I really think it's cool.
I'm glad somebody kept track of that. I had no idea. I knew it was kind of somewhere around week 9, 10 of that season, and here we are 32 years later.
Amazing. All right, we got a lot more to come. Want to hear from you about Josh Allen, what impact he will have if he returns to the Buffalo lineup. We'll do that when we come back with your phone calls and your tweets. We're just getting started, believe it or not. One Bills Live, 32 years later. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Oh, we had to hurry back in. I had to go out and make sure I had something to sit on our new table. Right?
These are great. I wish I could show these.
We are big time, man. I'm going to take a picture and tweet it out.
They're mounted right into the table.
I know.
And you got one over there? I didn't see
like,
it.
Yeah, it's like right over here. I don't know. I don't think this one's mounted, though. This is just, yeah, this is just an extra
I love it. Thank you.
I do, too. This is.
Here's a question.
How do they know that we needed one?
Well, you're asking the same question. We've done this show. You've been here since April doing this show, so it's 6-7 months. And right. Finally, somebody decides, those guys need a table.
You know what?
Those white buckets aren't doing it anymore.
The instigators had to raise a stink.
Oh, there you go.
That's what it is. Because this one over here would be for Marty. Right?
You're right, yeah. And those are the guys who
and
they
let's
get
say, the
they
hockey
want.
Guys get whatever they want,
sure.
Right?
I mean, yeah, we're just kind of renting space from the hockey guys here.
We're just, yeah.
In the One Buffalo studio. Good afternoon. Welcome to the show. John Murphy, Steve Tasker.
Are we coming across bitter?
I'm not bitter. We've accepted it.
Yeah.
One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy and Steve Tasker. Bills on the field practicing. Our question to you, with Josh Allen out there now for the second consecutive day, taking snaps, throwing the football, looks like he might be coming back. What do you think? What impact will he have on the Buffalo offense? You got to believe it's positive, and it's been such a rough year offensively that you know the smart guys out there, the smart alecks, will say, how could it be anything but positive? You're kind of right, as smart aleck as you might be trying to be.
Yeah.
I mean, it has to be better, right, with the talent that he has, with the arm that he has. Josh Allen, I'm talking about, it has to be better than what they've had since he's been out.
That's right. And I look forward to it as well. And we're not saying it's even going to happen. He may not play. I mean, there's nothing that says they don't get to the end of this week and say, you know what, I don't know. He might not be quite ready. You know. And of course, if there is any doubt, the last thing you want to do is throw him out there like, you know, like I was – Murph is – it sounds like that's what I'm saying when I say, hey, play him no matter what. But, you know, obviously if he's not going to be able to – play the game the way he needs to play it and be good enough to protect himself and to make the throws he needs to throw, he doesn't need to be out there. But that leaves you with a healthy quarterback in Nathan Peterman and Matt Barkley. And if you're going to try and beat the New York Jets, you'd rather see Josh Allen out there.
Sure.
It's that simple. It's that simple. Now, the Jets – and plus, the Jets, I think, probably – you know, you can hope for the best as a Bills fan. I wish Sam Darnold was playing against the Bills rather than Josh McCown. Josh McCown's going to be an efficient veteran quarterback who's going to probably make better decisions with the ball, quicker decisions and more efficient decisions than Sam Darnold will at this point in his career. Now, there's no question Darnold's got better physical abilities, but, you know, that's what you're looking at. I mean, I don't think Josh McCown is a guy that has been – you know, this guy started a lot of games last year, and he was their guy. So – yeah, I would. I think, you know, you look at it, it's like, oh gosh, that's kind of a rough break for the Bills defense.
Sure. Plus, from the storyline standpoint, you want the two rookies, right? The two buddies picked what four selections apart in the first round.
Right.
I would prefer to see that. Maybe we get to see that in the rematch. We'll take your phone calls on this issue. Josh Allen, if he comes back in, what impact will it have on the Buffalo offense? Ronnie is on the line with some thoughts on this. Ronnie, go ahead. Ronnie.
Hello.
Hi,
hey, Ronnie, go ahead.
Hi, it's Bonnie.
Bonnie with a B. It says Ronnie on my screen. Sorry, Bonnie.
Steve. It's okay. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Hi, Murph.
Hi.
I listen to your show every day. I'm a first-time caller.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Good for you.
Comments, and then I'll hang up and listen to what you got to say.
Okay.
First of all, why are we putting Josh Allen in when we have a terrible offensive line, no receivers, and get this kid hurt and maybe have a career-ending injury, okay? And it's not worth it. We're not going to make the playoffs. I say let Peterman play the rest of the year, okay, and be done with it. Work on a new offensive line next year.
Yeah. Bonnie, how did you feel when they played Josh Allen earlier in the season, though?
It was good, but I think he would benefit from sitting and learning. But I don't want to see this kid go out there with a horrible offensive line and no receivers and get himself hurt and maybe end up with a career-ending injury. And he's our franchise future.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, Bonnie, and I get what you're saying, and you're kind of taking the same kind of mindset that my buddy Murph does. There's no reason to put the guy under undue risk.
Right.
Right, I get it. And yeah, there's something to be said for that. But then again, too.
For a better offensive line.
Yeah, then again, too, though, I've seen, really good quarterbacks get career-ending injuries behind great offensive lines and on great teams, in playoff games on great teams. I mean, it's just something you're going to have to live with as a football fan, and certainly football players know they live with it all the time too. It's no question there is always risk management in football. Guys make it every single football play they play on an instantaneous basis, whether you're going to go in there and take this guy on or whether you're going to go in there and just kind of try and make a play and let somebody else take the guy on. You can shy away from all the contact you want as a football player, that's still no guarantee that you're not going to get hurt. There's just no guarantees. So while you might be thinking you're doing him a favor in sitting him down and letting him watch, you drafted him to play quarterback. He's already started a number of games this season and started to get better. You're starting to see some development. You know that's the best thing for him if it can happen. I don't think they're going to live their lives or make their decisions based on a fear that they're not good enough to play well around him. I just don't think they're going to do that. These guys are going to take a lot of pride in what they do. I get this thing about him not being 100%. Now, if he's not 100%, I'm all for waiting another 2 weeks after the bye. But if he's ready, listen, it's time for him to play. And he knows that he wants to. The team will play, theoretically, the team will play better with him there, and he'll be able to have some success. But I hear you, Bonnie. But don't worry. I mean, don't live your life worrying about it. Let him play.
Don't mischaracterize what I was saying.
I'm trying not to. Did I?
You said I agreed with Bonnie, which I don't.
Well, no,
he's healthy. He plays.
I'm saying that you're down that road where you got to really weigh the risk of him getting hurt again or hurt in any way, shape, or form.
And being 100% healthy.
And being 100%
with
healthy.
With that elbow in particular. I know
behind with this offense that's been ineffective around him.
That doesn't bother me.
Right. See that? Yeah. That's the thing.
Call here from Tom in Buffalo. Hello, Tom.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I kind of agree with Bonnie, but not to her extreme. I think Peterman should start. Josh Allen, they should sit him, let him rest till after the bye. Don't take a chance on him getting injured. Peterman outplayed Trubisky last week, aside from the four turnovers. Now, only one of those was truly his fault. But my question is, why can't the receivers catch his balls? Are the balls errant throws? Or, I mean, our receivers, at best, are mediocre.
Yeah, Tom, there's no easy answer for that, why they're doing that, but it seems to happen to him all the time. Pat DeMarco started with his very first interception as a pro last year, and it has continued. Guys seem to volleyball the thing up in the air for him. I don't think it has anything to do with Nate Peterman or the way he throws the football. I think it's just one of those instances where it just has continued to happen to the guy. There's nothing you can point to that says his technique is bad. Even the spot, and we had Jim Kubiak on the show earlier this week, and he says even on the interceptions, Peterman put the ball right where it was supposed to be on two of those interceptions. He had to throw it into the body of Zay Jones, and he volleyballed it up. He had to throw it in there on the body of Terrell Pryor, and Pryor got out physical for the ball and got batted up in the air. It's just bad luck. And there's no doubt that if they held that statistic, Nathan Peterman is leading the NFL in bad luck. So, but I get it. There's a lot of reasons to say, hey, let's save Josh for a better football team. But I think this football team would be better if Josh Allen was in there.
We'll take a break. We're coming back. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live. John Murphy, Steve Tasker in our One Buffalo studio. Coming up at the top of the next hour, Marcellus Wiley, former Bills defensive end, former second-round pick, 10 years in the league, 4 years here, 11 years on ESPN, right now working on a show on FS1. He wrote this book, Never Shut Up, the Steve Tasker Show. No, it's Never Shut Up by Marcellus Wiley. The life, opinions, and unexpected adventures of an NFL outlier. He's got some interesting stories. I paged through the book today. We'll talk with Marcellus Wiley coming up after the top of the next hour. Looking forward to that. Want to hear from you about Sunday's game. Josh Allen, maybe a chance to return to the lineup. What do you think of that? And what impact do you think it'll have on the Buffalo offense in Sunday's game against the Jets? And we talked about this a minute ago. I'm really disappointed. I am that Sam Darnold is not likely to play. He is likely out of the game. The third overall pick in the draft, played every snap in the first 9 games for the Jets. expected to miss at least one game with a strained right foot. Jet sources call it a week-to-week injury. There was one piece of video up I saw yesterday of, I think it was a touchdown. It was a touchdown celebration by the Dolphins where one of the Dolphins celebrants stepped on Darnold's foot, and they speculate that that might be where the injury came from. Yeah.
Wow.
What a way to lose.
Talk about hard feelings.
Yeah. So now it's Josh McCown after Darnold showed up yesterday in a boot at practice, and later they said that he would not play. Josh McCown, the veteran, 39-year-old quarterback, get ready to play. You would think he would be ready, although he has yet to play this so far this season. Josh McCown talked to the media in New York yesterday and talked about his preparation to jump into the starting lineup.
I do enough every week to kind of keep myself tuned up, that's my main focus. And then, you know, the mental aspect of just going over the game plan every week with Sam and you know, how much football he and I talk. And so that's, you know, the biggest part of my preparation.
Do you think you'd be a little rusty, though? You really haven't played too much of a game since you got hurt in Denver.
You know, that's not, you know, for me, that's not the plan. I think that's the part of, you know, being in professional football is the expectation is to go out and play at a high level. And so that can't be allowed to be an excuse, and it won't be. You know, I'll go out expect to play to my standard and to the standard that I have this football team win a football game.
Do you feel fresh? I mean, is this the healthiest you've kind of been in November?
Yeah, exactly. For sure, in that regard, you know, obviously not taking hits and not having the day-to-day, just the work and the wear and tear is beneficial to this point. So, you know, to the extent that I could feel more fresh, obviously not having played, I do.
Josh McCown getting ready to start against the Bills. 13 starts last season, including 2 against the Bills, 1-1, lost 1.
He's 39, been playing football for long. He ain't feeling fresh. I'm telling you that right now.
Is he played
it's
all
like
year?
Is not playing? I don't matter. He doesn't feel – he's not in pain, but he does not feel fresh. Not when he's out there running around with 22-year-olds who can fly. Who literally can all if they had their a gliding suit on, they could run fast enough to get airborne. I mean, those guys, and he's out there, you know, as a 39-year-old. Now he's playing quarterback. I get it. And Josh McCown is probably not the guy Bills fans want to see taking snaps. I mean, we'd rather see Sam Darnold. Let's face it, he's not playing as well right now. There was an article coming out of New York last week from Steve Serby, who said, you know, the article was, you know, is this last rough stretch by Sam Darnold going to get Todd Bowles fired? I mean, that's how it's been in New York. So
you
kind of want that guy on the field, though, right?
Yes. Plus, for entertainment purposes, I'd rather see the rookie, the third overall
pick. You
want to
see these two guys from day one of their careers go head-to-head for the next 15 years and have it go with like it did with Jim Kelly and Dan Marino.
Yeah. Not going to get it this week. Maybe we do in a month when they play again. It's unfortunate, I think.
Yeah.
Let's take a phone call about Josh Allen. Here's Ivan in Buffalo. Go ahead, Ivan. You're on the air with us.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Okay.
Good.
Okay. So what I wanted to say was that I think the impact that Josh Allen will have is not only just his obvious talent with his arm, but his ability to be able to run the ball. So I think he should help the running game. And also I think that he will help out the offense with Brian Doubles' scheming. We saw the past couple of weeks that he had a couple of trick plays, but then he got away from those plays and didn't quite go back to them. And I think with Josh Allen being available, that he might be able to do a little bit more as far as calling different type of scheme sets on the field. So I look forward to that.
Okay, I look forward to it too. I'm eager to see Josh Allen's development continue. I think that might be the number one selling point of this game for Bills fans, right? If Josh Allen can return, go full speed. If he is full speed, I want to make sure I say that. Let's let him play and let's let him learn. Let's go. Let's pick up where they left off, right back in Houston.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see it. They had a chance to win that game in Houston. I keep going back to it. They had a 3-point lead or a 4-point lead, and the ball was on the ground defensively. All they had to do was fall on that ball, and the game was over, and they ended up losing it, and then trying to desperation throwing the pick six at the end. So, you'd love to see him make a throw like the last one he made in Houston, because it was a rocket, and it was, you know, right down the seam. I don't know if you remember it. It was the best throw he made all year, and we haven't seen him since. So, yeah, let's face it. I mean, this is what we've been waiting on. is a chance to see him play and play a lot. Now there's no question too. You want this team needs to play better around whoever's playing quarterback, but certainly you'd like to see him. Maybe they'll get a little bump of adrenaline with Josh Allen back in there.
We'll find out. Hey, when we come back, we're going to be on the line with the former Buffalo Bill. He was kind of a fan favorite when he was here, Marcellus Wiley, 4 years with the Bills, former second-round pick from Columbia in New York City. He's written a book called Never Shut Up. Marcellus Wiley is going to join us to talk about that book and what he's up to these days. When we come back, Steve and I will talk with him. It's One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.